Bibles to Genesis chapter 1. We'll be looking at day 5 of creation this evening. That road to Emmaus. Those men just tore all to pieces, weren't they? Christ hadn't revealed himself to them yet, but he walked with them. And he said, "Oh, you fools, why are you so down?" And he expounded all the things concerning himself, beginning at Moses. Would you like to hear that? Well, they invited him to their house to eat. I'd have said, "You come in my house, I'll feed you too." Somebody see Christ in every line of the scriptures. What an amazing thing. Tell me more. How'd you know that? Well, a mentor of mine, a man I've known decades, he said, "Whenever I'm looking for a message, I quit going to the scriptures and trying to find a message. I want to learn something about Christ. What if we could see Christ in the scriptures, in Moses? Would that be suitable for some folks? Would that be okay? That'd be something. It'd be a miracle." Christ preached himself from these things. They had him to the house and he ate. And when he had broke bread, he revealed himself. What do you think the topic of those things was? He was speaking of concerning Moses and all them. His broken body. The person and work of Christ. What he came to accomplish and what was accomplished. And the second he was revealed, he disappeared from them. He didn't tell them just who he was. He showed what he did. What he did. We don't see everything. We see through a glass darkly. The Lord gives us a little glimmers of light here and there. But boy, when we can see something of Him. Remember the first time that brazen serpent? That's Christ. Do you know that? What? Oh, that's Him. That's a person. That's my Redeemer. That's my Lord up there. First time we saw the ark. That's the Lord. The doorpost with the blood on it. God looked on the outside of the door, not on the inside of them homes. Looked on the outside of it. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. What? That's exciting. Well, I hope it gives excitement this evening. Genesis 1, verse 20. "And God said, Let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and the fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales, and every living creature that moveth, which the water brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind, and God saw that it was good. And God blessed them," saying, how did he bless them? He said, "Be fruitful, multiply, and fill the waters and the sea, and let fowl multiply on the earth. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day." So here's the creation of the fish, the fowl, and the whale. On day one, we saw God created the heaven and the earth. It was without form. It was void. Darkness was on the face of the deep. All the way down. Deep. But God commanded. God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And after that, Spirit moved on us dark waters. The command was given to see. And we saw the voidness, the emptiness, the depravity that we are. And we saw a bright and shining light. Christ our Lord, that's Him. God purposed it, Christ performed it, and the Holy Ghost witnessed it to us. Then there in verse 5, it says, "And God called the day, the light day, and the darkness He called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day." We had never seen that before. Oh yeah, God made some light and He did something with the earth. It was void and now there's something. The waters move. There's some waves or something. That's all we'd seen before. God made this earth. We know that. That's God saving His people. Or, "I was blind to Christ the light and now I see." It was evening. It was nighttime. It was dusk. Couldn't see nothing. Now it's morning. That sun just come up. The light just come on. Evening and the morning was the first day. On day 2, God created the firmament, the expanse, the arch of the sky. Yes, but that word means pounded earth. Covering, atonement. And that firmament, that propitiation, that atonement, that Christ divided the waters. Some were covered. He was over them. Their head. He covered those waters. He was the go-between, between the waters and the Holy God. And there's other waters that had no covering. They had no atonement. They had no pounded earth between them and God. And they evaporated. Like a fervent heat coming on water. Turn over to Genesis 15. Genesis chapter 15. The waters that were moved on, they had light commanded in it. They were covered, they were robed, protected, secure, made one with God by Christ. He protected His people by taking the pounding that we earned, the wrath of God in His body on a tree. And He is our reward. That's what our Lord is. He's our Savior. He's our Redeemer. He's our reward. He's our firmament and our reward. Looking there in Genesis 15, verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram. I am thy shield. I'm your firmament. I'm your covering atonement. And thy exceeding great reward. He is our shield. I need protection. I need security. He's our shield and our great reward. That's what we like, security, don't we? Man goes and gets insurance on his car, doesn't he? Why? Might wreck it. Get insurance on your home. Why? It might burn down. Get insurance on everything. You get insurance on dogs. Do you know that? Teeth clean. We like to be secure, like to be safe. And man just finds insurance and a savior in case he might die. There's some man named Jesus. I might ought to learn something about him. I might die. That's not their Lord. This is our shield and our exceeding great reward. That's who it is. It's a person. Man wants to be rewarded. No, we want a wage in our works to be rewarded with a trip to heaven. Oh, I don't want to go to hell. Anything but hell. I want to go to heaven. Well, of course you do. I'd rather not get burnt by a scalding hot pot of water. It's just sane. It's logical, isn't it? Heaven's a place. It's not a place. It's a person. It's a person. That firmament, God named it heaven. Look back in our text here in Genesis 1, verse 8. And God called the firmament, capital H, heaven. What's that atonement you have? Your covering, your protection against the Almighty God. Capital H, heaven, it's Christ. And the evening and the morning were the second day. I've never seen that before, do you? My eyes have been open. I was blind, now I see. Day three, the Lord revealed Christ and His people. He gathered the waters together, where two or three are gathered in My name. Who gathered them? He gathered them. Who gathered the waters? God did. And the dry land appeared. It was lifted up. Christ, the fullness of the Godhead in a body, came to this earth, and He was made and lifted up on a cross for His people. He was exalted in the hearts of His people in the preaching of His gospel every time it's preached, every day in the hearts of His people. That woman that washed His feet we read this morning, what's the feet of Christ? That's the lowest part of Him. What's my hair? That's the highest part of me. I take the highest part of me and I put it down to the lowest part of Him. He's exalted. It says there in verse 12, and the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding after His kind, and the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after His kind. And God saw that it was good. Born again with that incorruptible seed, conformed to the spirit and image of Christ. The Father looks on us and says, good. That one I offended, that one I was nothing but void and empty and dead, without form. I went against Him with rage and vanity and everything I had in me. And He looks at me because that firmament's over me. Christ incorruptible seeds in me, and He says, good. That's good. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Verse 13 says, in the evening and the morning were the third day. Day four, God set the stars in the heaven. They were to be for signs and seasons and for days and years. His steady, twinkling, small little stars. His watchmen. They will not fail. They will not go away until the last saints brought to know Christ. Till Christ is revealed in it. They don't shoot across the skies. They don't dazzle. They're not fancy. They just keep twinkling. Boom, 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 like a heartbeat. Boom, 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 boom. Steady. You get mad at them. Steady. He sets them. They may not be too bright. I taught that out and I got tickled. Some of them ain't too bright. They may not be too bright, but they keep on doing what God put their hand to do. And he says, and it was so. And then on the fourth day, God created the sun and the moon. It says in verse 16, God made two great lights, the greater to rule, greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. The stars also. Christ the sun. S-U-N-S-O-N. He was declared. He was revealed on the fourth day. And the moon. The moon was too. The moon could be us. We can look at it that way. You can preach it right. That moon's us. We only possess the light that Christ gives us. And every time this world gets in the way, there's an eclipse. Every time the idols get in the way, self gets in the way, seems like that light dims, don't it? Or the moon can properly be preached to Satan, too. He has no warmth. He doesn't have any power to grow. You can't grow plants in the middle of the night, can you? He takes the Scriptures, makes them look like his own. Didn't he do that to our Lord? He tempted him with Scripture. What fool! That's the pride. That's the vanity. It says there at the end of that verse, the lesser light to rule the night, the stars also. Not all preachers are God's preachers. That needs to be said. Man needs to hear that. My family, my loved ones need to hear that. Not everybody with a Bible and a tie, and they say the word, they don't wear ties no more. They say the word Jesus and some flowery things, and they sing songs, play guitar, do all kinds of stuff. That doesn't mean they're God's preacher. Those stars, they're right along with that light of night in this dark world. Verse 17 says, and God set them in the firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness, to declare what's light, to declare what's darkness. And God saw that it was good. He said, that's good. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take little tiny stars that you can't even see, you can't count, you ain't got no name. And I'm going to use that to light this dark world. Why didn't he just make everything light and no darkness? Could he have done that? Of course he could have. God can do anything he wants to. Why would he use small stars to give light? And then that's a sign for days and seasons and years and all these things. It pleased him. God was pleased to do it that way. He has chosen the foolish things of the earth to confound the wise, hasn't he? Turn over to 1 Corinthians 1. Verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish, those that's going to die, foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it's the power of God. Why did Christ have to go to that cross? Had the Lord done it another way? That's what pleased him. That's what his determinate counsel and foreknowledge of his high holy command determined. That's not foolishness if you see yourself putting him there, is it? You see him doing that for you. Verse 21. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. I've had people tell me they just come to understand these things and they studied and God spoke to them. If God didn't send a preacher and make you hear this, you didn't hear it. Verse 26. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. God hath chosen the weak things of this world to confound the things which are mighty. What's the foolish things? What's the weak things? You're looking at him. You're looking at him. This water is put into an earthen vessel, a clay pot that's brittle, and a small child could knock it over and shatter it to pieces. That's what God chose to do. Verse 28, and the base things of the world, and things which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, and the things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are. Why? Why did he do that? Verse 29, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Amen. That's right. That's where he brings sinners he saves. I think I did something good. Look out. Back in our text here in verse 19. Genesis 1:19. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. You see the message. Constantly repeated. Man was ruined in ourselves. We were redeemed by the blood of Christ, and the Holy Ghost reveals these things to us. God comes to him. He draws near to his people, reveals Christ in them. All flesh is grass, and salvation is of the Lord. That's all we can left to say. We shout, we rejoice in that. What a privilege. Day 5 begins here in verse 20. The message ain't going to change. Genesis 1:20, and God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and the fowl, that it may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales, and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly, after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters and the seas, and let the fowl multiply in the earth. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. One of the old writers said the work of creation not only proceeded gradually from one thing to another, but rose and advanced gradually from that which was less excellent to which is more excellent. That's so. We started with mineral life, with rocks, dirt, then plant life. There's life in plants. God sustains them, makes them grow. Animal life now. That's how we grow in grace and knowledge too, isn't it? We don't show up on the scene as great-grandpas. We're babies. You don't give babies big old steaks, blend it up, make baby food. You don't expect them to grow overnight. Their bones would shatter. We should be thankful God grows us slowly. Day one, what a growth in grace too. We started out from without form, without void, and God gave us Christ, our light, our life. Then we had no covering. God gave us Christ, our atonement. We couldn't produce anything of ourselves. Christ was lifted up and all his seed after his kind. That grass came, those trees came. That's how we grew just like him. That's how he makes his people grow. Then the sun was set above. And we had someone sent to tell us of those seasons and those days and those years that are of the Lord. Someone came and told us who the message is. Not what. Somebody asked me one time, what do you preach? I said, I'll preach nothing. Preach who? I was hoping that opened an opportunity to talk to him, but it didn't. We had Christ the light revealed to us. Christ our atonement. Christ our heaven. He's the heaven. He's the light of the world. Here in verse day 5, we see him once again. How's Christ proclaimed here in day 5, in the fifth day? Well, first, he's the creator. All things were created by him. Creation declares his wisdom, his majesty of our great God and Savior. Don't be flippant. Don't be dismissive about creation, about natural things that God made. Cats and dogs and birds and trees and rainforest and weather systems. Don't be dismissive of that. Don't be flippant of that. He's the God of creation, and he will be recognized as such. And we don't think that affects us now because we got walls and air conditioners. We're not getting chased by. We used to tell stories to our kids about the big bad wolf. Why? That way little kids didn't think it was a dog and go pet it. It killed people. And now we're trying to re-release them back in. Oh, it's going to repopulate. What nonsense. Finally got rid of them. Got rid of them wolves. I mean, as amazed at creation as we ought to be. I considered the fishes this week. Think about how many variety of fishes there are. I mean, fresh water, salt water, lakes, streams, ponds, everywhere. That's amazing. And I looked it up. That we know of, that man knows of, there's 35,000 species of fishes. That's a bunch. And them after their kind. They're sustained, ain't they? Think of the oceans, all those streams and lakes. Oh, fullness, there's great bounty. Great bounty. And he says, I'm going to starve to death. The Lord teaches you how to fish. There's somebody around you, huh? Think of the birds. Look that up too. There's, as we know, just what man knows. 18,000 species of birds. That's not the subspecies and the different colors and they call them different names. 18,000 species of birds. What diversity. What colors. What beautiful songs that sang to the Lord all around this world. That's amazing. That's amazing, isn't it? These great whales. The largest mammal on earth. Think how much they... One said that it eats 10,000 pounds of shrimp a day. Or krill, not shrimp. The little tiny ones. Great big old fish is fed by a bunch of little tiny fishes that ain't that big. Could you come up with that? God did. What an amazing thing. God created... I've seen whales jump up out of the water. And it's playing. We'll read that in a minute. Well, you go on and read it. Job 41. But they got on its side, it's taking that thing, it was 15 feet tall, that flipper, and smacking it on the ground, on the water. Just playing. Oh, look what God made. That's amazing. And turn over to Psalm 104. David has a good commentary on creation, too. Psalm 104, verse 24. O Lord, how manifold are thy works. In wisdom thou hast made them all. The earth is full of thy riches. So is this great and wide sea. Oh, look at the ocean. Wherein are all are things creeping innumerable. Things swimming innumerable. Both small and great beasts. There's little tiny fishes. There's mid-sized ones, great big ones, whales. There go the ships. There is that Leviathan, the whale, whom thou hast made to play therein. He goes and plays. These wait upon thee. They wait upon the Lord, that thou mayest give them their meat in due season. They wait for the Lord to feed them. That thou givest them, they gather. Thou openest thine hand, and they are filled with good. You feed them, Lord. But thou hidest thy face, they're troubled. If you don't feed them, they're in trouble. Thou takest away their breath, they die, and return to their dust. He controls their bounds, their days are numbered. Thou sendest forth thy spirit, they are created. And thou renewest the face of the earth. The glory of the Lord shall endure forever. The Lord shall rejoice in His works. In His works. The Lord created and sustains all creation. Wow. That's amazing. That's something man can't do. How small we are. One day, I know Dawn always wants to take an RV around the U.S. I want to take a sailboat to Hawaii. Take me about 20 days. That's what I want to do one day. And somebody said, you ought to have at least a 50-foot boat. And I said, if you're out and you got 1,500 miles to the closest touch of land, it don't matter if that's 50-foot or 100-foot or 1,000-foot boat, it's that big. It's tiny, isn't it? Lord's creation's amazing. And He controls everything in it. He controls His creation. He doesn't just sustain it. He didn't just make it. He didn't just keep it alive. And tell it when to die, He controls it. Remember whenever the Lord multiplied those fishes and the loaves for those thousands of people waiting to see? His disciples, they were trying to fish one night and they couldn't catch anything. These were professional fishermen, commercial fishermen, didn't get nothing. And He didn't just know where the fish were. He said, you cast your nets on the other side of the boat. And He drew them fish. He put them fish in that net, didn't He? And then it was tax time. And these servants, they didn't have no money. They couldn't pay tribute to Caesar. And Christ told Peter, He said, you cast a hook. A hook. Not a lure. Not baited. A hook. A bare hook. And the first catch, first fish you pull up, first one you catch is going to have money in its mouth. You take that and go pay. What'd that prove? There was no bait. And it was the exact fish with the money that was required. That's double proof, isn't it? God made that fish swallow a coin or put one in its mouth. I don't know what He did. But He had a hook with no bait on it, and the fish that God commanded came to Him. He made that fish. He sustained that fish. And that fish serves him as he sees fit. That's an amazing God. The birds, Elijah was told to, him and Ahab got into it. He had it out with the king. The Lord said, you go over close to the Jordan. Go by that brook. And you can have water to drink from the brook. And I'm going to send ravens to bring you meat and bread every day. Man asked me one time, he said, how are you going to eat? How are you going to make a living? I said, Lord, send birds to feed me. I ain't worried about it. I ain't went hungry yet. He commanded the birds to bring meat and bread to him. Fed his prophet. He feeds the birds. Not a sparrow falls to the ground without the Father. Christ is the creator and the sustainer and the commander of all life, period. That's just who he is. On day 5, what we see? We see who he is. My friend Maurice once said, if man had any sense, he would stand back and say, what a God. What a God we have. But this day 5 also gives us a picture of what the Lord Jesus Christ did. That's who he is. Here's what he did. Fish. What's these fish he's talking about? He created. That's us. We're born out of troubled waters, weren't we? Waters of wrath. Men are fishes. The Lord called some commercial fishermen to be his apostles. And he said, I'm going to make you fishers of men. Fishers of men. We swim in wrath. We drink iniquity like water. Don't even know we're wet. We're scaly. We're slimy. We can't even walk on land. That's us. And birds. That ain't us. We're not birds, are we? They fly in the heavens. They don't have skin and scales. They're robed in feathers. The Lord robed them in feathers. After John baptized Christ, the Holy Ghost descended in the shape of a dove and landed on his shoulder. It said in Matthew 23, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chicks under her wings? And ye would not. The Lord is described as an eagle, isn't it? Turn over to Obadiah. You got Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, and if you get to Jonah, you went too far. I had marked it so I could get there quick, and then I found it and forgot I marked it. Did all right. Obadiah, just before Jonah, only 21 verses. But here in verse 3, Obadiah 3, it says, the pride of thine heart hath deceived thee, thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high, and saith in his heart, who shall bring me down to the ground? Oh, what lofty thoughts, what proud thoughts, high and mighty thoughts. Verse 4, though thou exalt thyself as the eagle. That's just what man tries to make himself, isn't it? Make himself God. Bring himself up. Though thou exalt thyself as the eagle, and though thou set thy nest among the stars, thence will I bring thee down, saith the Lord. Every high place is going to be knocked down. I just pray the Lord does it for his people while we're on this earth, while we're alive to see it. If not, it'll be eternal. What must be conquered for a fish to be made a bird? For a wretched man to be made in the spirit and image of Christ? Death must happen. Do you know that? The whale. That's the only animal mentioned by name. Adam named all the animals. God said, this is the whale. I made fishes, I made fowl, and I made a whale. Here's what Christ did for those he was made one with. Turn over to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, verse 38. Then certain of the scribes and Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. Show us something more. But he answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, And there shall no sign be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonas, of Jonah. For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, in the grave, we know that, don't we? So shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth, in the tomb. That's where he had to go. That whale was necessary. That grave was declared. All mankind's facing the grave. Christ faced it for His people. It says in Revelation 1, "When I saw Him, I fell at His feet as dead. And He laid His right hand upon me, saying to me, Fear not, I'm the first and last, the Alpha and Omega. I'm He that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore." That's Christ. He walked this earth, He died, and He's alive forevermore. He says, "Amen. And I have the keys of hell and death." He's conquered it. He has the keys to it. He owns it. It's His. He earned it. Paul told us, he said, "For He must reign till He hath put all His enemies under His feet. And that last enemy shall be destroyed." He's conquered it, but it shall be destroyed is death. Death. Read Job 41 one time. It's the whole thing's about that Leviathan, the great whale. And you read that as the grave. Go home and read Job 41 and you read that big old monster, that big old whale, as death. You're going to see some things. You're not going to make a deal with the grave. Old Ralph Stanley used to sing, "Oh death, won't you spare me over for another year?" You ain't going to make a contract with it. You ain't going to deal with it. There in Job 41 it says, "Will he make a covenant with thee? Wilt thou take him for a servant forever?" This death's coming. We don't play with the grave. We don't tempt the Lord. "Wilt thou play with him as a bird? Wilt thou bind him for thy maidens?" Is that going to be your pet? The grave's coming for us all, and we have no weapon of defense in and of ourselves in our natural state against it. Ain't nothing we can do. He says, "Darts are counted as stubble, and he laugheth at the shaking of a spear." That's when we looked at this morning. The Lord laughs. I heard a man say one time, he said, "I wouldn't let somebody kill me. I wouldn't let the Lord kill me." I laugh out of pity. What a shame. And there's a sting of death. There was. There is for mankind, isn't there? It says in Job 41:30, "Sharp stones are under him. He spreadeth sharp pointed things upon the mire, upon the miry clay." How can you stab dirt? I don't know, but it can. How can you stab mud? It can. That's death. Turn over to Romans 6. Romans chapter 6. In the person of Christ and in His work, we are robed in His righteousness. We'll be with Him in the heavens forever. And sin and death and hell have no more dominion over us anymore. Look here in Romans 6 verse 3. "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death, into His whale, into His grave with Him? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." He's living now. For me to live is Christ, isn't it? For me to die is gain. "For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection." We shall. "Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that body of sin might be destroyed, and henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead, if we're dead with Him, we're freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe also that we shall also live with Him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Now death hath no more dominion over Him or us, does it? For in that He died unto sin once. But in that He liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God through Jesus Christ our Lord." The one who created, sustains, and rules all things, those majestic things that just amaze us, He's conquered sin, death, and hell for His people. What about my sin? God put it as far as the east is from the west. What about hell? Hell ain't got no claim to me. I'm the Lord's. I'm His son. I'm His child. What about death? That's just shedding this old body. I want rid of it anyway. Don't want this sin no more. I want to be with Him. Be made like Him. Whatever that is. If I look like a bird and I'm flying in heaven, that's fine. But He says I'm going to be made like Him. I'm going to be conformed to Him, His spirit, and His image. I believe Him. That's a comfort. That's a blessing, isn't it? If the Lord reveals Himself to somebody, that's a blessing. That's a blessing. Christ's done it all. He went to the grave for us. He's conquered all these things for us. I ain't nothing but a slimy old fish. I'm going to be made like Him. Have His spirit and image. What a thought. That's a blessing. Turn back in our text. Or in Genesis 1. I'll let you go. Genesis 1, verse 22. This is the first time this is mentioned in the Scriptures. And God blessed them. Boy, if that's happened to you. Christ has conquered your sin, death, and hell. You're blessed. That's the blessed man. God blessed them, saying, He spoke, be fruitful, multiply, and fill the waters and the seas, and let the fowl multiply the earth. Because of the worthiness of Christ, who He is, the Creator and Sustainer of all things, and Him conquering the grave and sin for His people, dying for us, rising again. Because of all that, who He is and what He did, we are blessed. We're blessed. And His seed, after its own kind, it multiplies. Everything this old fish makes, going to be fish, ain't it? Everything the Lord uses me to call His people out, it's going to be His seed. That incorruptible seed, made just like Him because it's His. And it sustains. It doesn't diminish. It doesn't. That gene pool doesn't get watered down. It's the same. Verse 23 says, and the evening and the morning were the fifth day. I never saw myself, but people put fish on their bumpers, don't they? So everybody know they're a Christian, and then they cut you off and honk and don't act like one, do they? They ain't very loving. There's just no fish. There's a whale about to eat me. Come get me. The Lord conquered that whale. Tore it asunder. Death has no claim on me. And I'll be in the heaven, the firmament, Christ, forevermore. What a thought, huh? That's amazing. All right.